I'm just a, you know, just a guy doing funny noises with his mouth.
Amazing noises. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pass the Power with me, Paige Parker. I am delighted you're listening and maybe even watching on Spotify or on our new YouTube channel. We are continuing to share conversations of hope with today's thought leaders, so together we may pass the power. Today we're going to talk about the arts with Darny Ung. He has 3.6 million followers on TikTok. He's got 280,000 followers on Instagram. He's a two-time Grand Beatbox champion who makes music with his mouth. He left Singapore for Poland to build his craft, and he returned a few years back with a wife. I met him through our involvement with ARK, which is a Web 2, Web 3 NFT gated membership community. Can you tell us who's the real Darny?
I'm just a, you know, just a guy doing funny noises with his mouth.
Amazing noises.
Yeah.
But you can do like a symphony with your mouth. How does a beatboxer make money?
Beatboxers make money through making content, getting known on social media, connecting with brands, performing, advertising, making music, streams, YouTube platforms. It's still very new and there's a lot more to explore.
In Singapore, how many people are able to make money off beatboxing?
Like, I don't know.
One?
You? Yeah, in Singapore you can make money by teaching beatboxing in schools. So yeah, you can teach to the students, then you can make money as a teacher.
I have a daughter who's 15 and she's not really into it anymore, but maybe 3-4 years ago, I mean, she obviously not like you, but she was really good. She could do like all kinds of cool sounds. I mean, she was really into it.
I'm sure she will learn something again along the way, because recently I just posted a video on how to make a human saxophone noise. And it just got viral.
Oh.
And I think it's just the beginning of the virality. It's going to go more. So
it's just TikTok?
It's YouTube. TikTok, Instagram. Yeah, you can check it out. It's really funny.
But you have more followers on TikTok than Instagram, right?
Yeah, but TikTok is weird. It's funny. They changed the algorithm a lot.
And TikTok's like a storm. So I feel like as we focus on the arts today, just to give some reference for me and the arts, I was a wannabe ballerina.
Oh, really?
I went from wannabe. I was a real dancer through university. And now I consider myself kind of an arts advocate and patron. But when I was 3 years old, I started ballet. And then when I was 9, when I was invited to go to the School of the Arts to this summer program, and they put me on pointe shoes that summer. It was my first time leaving home. I was away for 3 weeks. And then I continued to do this arts program every summer until I was about 13. And they invited me to go for the full year, for the academic year, to come and train, you know, fully in dance, in ballet. And my daddy said, wait one more year and let's see if you're still committed. Then that year I became a cheerleader. And I was just getting more into school. So the next summer when I went back, I was wise enough to realize that I was never gonna be prima ballerina, that I was always gonna be in the core. Just knowing there were so many other people who were way more gifted than I was. I mean, I was plenty gifted, but not gifted enough to be on the front of the stage. That was such a revelation because I continued to dance, again, through university. I was head of the dance company when I was in school. But I just understood that I would never be good enough to be the best. And so I decided I needed to do something else because that wasn't enough for me.
It's very subjective. You know, when you're doing ballet, you need to follow certain rules. They set a structure and the structure cannot change. Some people are really good at like lines, you know, following that structure. While others, I don't say that they are like not as good as them. They are maybe born to be a little bit more different. They can a bit like more, not in within that structure. Unless you're doing like something, unless they are more open into experimentation.
Well, I did that when I was like probably around 14 or 15. I went to a different dance program one summer, and I was exposed to modern dance. And modern is much more about being able to linger. You don't have to hit the spot.
Yeah.
If your pirouette isn't perfect, it doesn't matter because it goes into something else. And so I fell in love. I don't know if you know this band, they're called The Smiths. They had this song called Meat is Murder. And I was so like in this like funky stage in my life that I choreographed this dance to Meat is Murder. And I just remember it was just like epic and feeling. And it just felt so good not to be like having to hit the spot.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you do in ballet. It's super restrictive. Liberating.
Yes. So you are not the person to follow the lines and structure. You most likely the other person is you're the outlier. You want to do something different and be free and to express how you want people to see you.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. So I think you're not, don't say that, oh, I will never be as good as them. It's just different, you know?
I just have a different path. My passion for dance led me to now be on the board for Singapore Ballet and help them raise money and friends. Now that I'm able to spend my time and energy and resources to advocate for them, that's
nice.
Kind of how I pay it back.
I also want to be like the board of World Beatbox Federation.
Why not?
It's not even existing yet.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you can start it.
Because the beatbox as industry is super primitive. Like it's the infancy stage. It's on its infancy stage. We don't have much capital to play with yet. So we need more people to, have more eyeballs onto this industry. And then we can see how it's going to go forward. Indonesia has a lot of people loving beatboxing. Millions and millions of people love beatbox, but they don't have spending power. So they don't have things that can help the beatbox industry thrive in terms of like making a living, in terms of earning through beatboxing. Not everyone can do that. So what I can see is that, in the future, it can be like how the ballet industry is doing. Like you will have, nicely curated, better curated competitions, the education, the syllable structure and everything. Takes time, I think. And ballet was a few hundred years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And did it start in the US? Where did it start?
In New York, in Brooklyn, when hip hop started.
Yeah.
And then beatboxing came about, in terms of the hip hop genre. And when it branched out globally, it grew out of hip hop and it became something else. It became an instrument. So you could do whatever genre you like. Yeah. So,
I remember when I was 13, I think it was Run DMC. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Hip hop to the hippity, the hippity, hip hip hoppy. Don't stop rocking to the bang bang. Boogie up, boogie to the rhythm of the boogity beat. That one.
Yeah.
I used to love that when I was 13, 14 years old.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about a memorable incident for you and for me in the arts. And I feel like for me, probably 10 years ago, I went back to ballet class here.
Oh.
And I started taking class. And I'm pretty serious. When I get into something, I'm going to I do it.
How was it? Know?
Well, it was frustrating because I couldn't do what I could do 20 years before.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So my triple pirouette, I could barely land a single. And I just felt that it was so frustrating for me that I walked away.
Oh.
And that's kind of sad. But I did. I realized that sometimes in life you got to give up. I mean, if I want to fly, I'm never going to fly.
I think maybe your body needs more time to you need to regain your muscle memory.
Yeah. But so. I'm never going to leap like I used to. Do you know what I mean? And that's here.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But I think you could at least do one or two if you practice for a month.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I did it. I took lessons for a few years. And I mean, I wasn't bad. It's just that I think that I wanted to be better and I realized that to get where I was, it wasn't going to happen.
Mm.
And so I just moved on. Yep. I was doing tennis after that. And then I was doing, now I'm doing boxing.
Oh,
which
nice.
I love.
Boxing is fun?
Yeah.
Heard it's addictive.
It is. You love the endorphins getting in.
Wow.
So what's a memorable incident for you with your craft?
Memorable?
I mean, winning the
Yeah, we're
beatboxing.
Yeah, winning some international battles, like coming from Singapore. Going.
Where was it held?
It was in Europe, various places. It was fun, you know, like going there, like from Singapore, that's one person, the solo, go there, and then you win. And they're like, oh, I won, like, you know, they got respect from all these beatboxers that all like are from different parts of the world.
Was that what led you to Poland when you went for the competition, or you were
no.
in Poland?
Why'd
you go to Poland?
Because it was much more affordable to live in, when, like, compared to live in London or Berlin.
Right.
Poland was like a new ground for me, where things were very fresh, thriving, growing economy.
Mm-hmm.
People, they're more open. They pay more attention to the different culture. Like, so if you are different, they pay more attention.
Mm-hmm.
In the UK, in Berlin, if you are, it's like different, they don't really pay attention because it's already saturated. And Poland is not saturated. It was not. So I was like, it was like 90% of white people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I was the minority. However, like, if I try to speak Polish, if I try to, like, you know, assimilate to their culture, they became like really open and welcoming, and even very helpful.
What year did you go?
2010, 11.
So were they a member of the EU yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, it was really, really cool, and it was growing.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember.
Did you go there first? You left Singapore, went straight there, or you went somewhere else and was like, "This is too expensive. I'm going to Poland."
Yeah, I went to London.
Okay.
Belgium. Yeah. France. I was in Belgium for a couple of months. London too.
Mm-hmm.
A few months.
So you went to Poland and then you met the wife, or you met the wife and she?
I met my wife like near the end.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was not like. Like, oh, just there. I was there for a decade.
His wife is Polish, by the way, in case that's not obvious.
I was there for a decade, 10 years. So I basically grew up there. So when I came back to Singapore, it was really different. It's like, cultural-wise, expressiveness. It was all, like, different. I had to, like, you know, relearn mm-hmm. certain things. Sometimes I get too out, you know, I'm so straightforward, outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
And people get, like, thrown off. You know, and or even like ideas, and people sometimes get thrown off because imagine you are in this bubble and something just enters the bubble and it's like, here's this. And then everybody's like, okay, I'm not used to it yet, you know, it's not comfortable. So I gotta, like, you know, read the room.
Mm-hmm.
and see what, you know, how to balance things out.
Well, the team that you beatbox with on TikTok,
oh, yeah.
I mean, is that your team, or it's just it's different people all the time?
It's different people all the time. But when I was in Korea, I met up with all the beatboxers, the super talented beatboxers. Yeah.
I wonder, why do you think, because like Korea, their culture is, right now it's so hot. Their culture, everything that they're, I mean, like their singing, their aesthetic. What do you think it is?
I think their entertainment value is really high. They really treat entertainment culture, mm-hmm. the top strength of the country is entertainment. But when I was in Hongdae, people were like basking. I don't know if it's basking or just like performing. And there were two of them, the singers were so bad. And then when they started dancing together, it was like parody. So many people just cheering for them. It was so good and so funny. You see that culture of like, if it's good, you know, if it's bad, they cheer, or like, if it's funny, they cheer. You don't have to sound very good, as long as it's funny and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So in Singapore, like, if you do something like that, you know how it's
nobody's
gonna turn
out. Cheer.
People are just gonna walk. So I think it's because Singapore is still a very young culture,
mm-hmm.
and the population is so small.
Yeah.
But I feel in the future, things are gonna change, like, because I can see a lot of influence coming from all over the place, and they're coming to Singapore to do very cool things.
Right, I hope so.
Yeah.
But I feel like, because Singapore is not home, I mean, it's more ethnically Chinese than not, that's the majority,
yeah.
But it's still not as homogeneous as Japan or Korea,
right.
But yet they are able to produce art and culture in a way that just doesn't happen here.
When I was in Korea, I was in the palace, and we have like the hanbok and everything. It's super cultural. Yeah, you can actually like trace back to the dynasties, and they already have art existing then. In Singapore, there wasn't like no art. It was like nothing. It was a barren land at that time, so it's basically it takes time, you know, for something to grow. I see Singapore as the hub.
So when I think about a daily challenge for me with the arts, I would say that right now I'm chairing the Asian Civilizations Museum Gala. It's the 25th anniversary, and ACM is Singapore's National Museum of Asian Antiquities and Art. And so I'm chairing this gala. We're going to raise over $1 million. And so I've been working really hard on that on the last year. And another challenge, I think, as a tiger mom and as a very vocal parent, also to convince parents that the arts are okay for kids. We have all these kids who are doing triple science, science, math, and then they don't do anything like that when they grow up because they're doing it because the parents are making them.
You know, I mean, they still do that.
Yeah, my daughter does humanities at her school, and there are only like 20 kids doing humanities because parents are like, no, you need to do triple science and science math. So it's still seen, even though it's been proven that academic performance, like innovation, creative wise, all of those things are higher when children are exposed to the arts. We still don't spend enough money on it, and we still don't encourage it enough. So those are like the things that I think about like daily, what's important to me to champion. That's what I'm doing. What are your daily struggles? For me, I always feel like it must be for you like making money as an artist, but it sounds like you're doing okay. So what's your daily struggle with beatboxing?
Daily struggle is like time management. When I'm doing something, I get like too into something and then I lose track of time. So I would need to tell myself when to stop and start to work on my content, because every day you need to work on the content for social media. This is one of the, I don't say it's a struggle, I say it's a challenge.
But do you schedule like the first 2 hours of the day you do this, the next 3 hours you do this? No,
I'm not like that. If I'm like that, I'll be like very happy, like, you know. No, I can't. I don't know, I just always get distracted. The biggest struggle for me in Singapore is that I cannot find people that can reciprocate with me in terms of beatboxing or the thought process, making music, you know. Like in other countries, in Korea for example, there are people that equally as talented or like more talented, you know, and more gifted or like equally, and we hang out together, you know, we inspire each other. We jam it out, we make content, we make music, you know.
This, but the pool here is small.
It's too small. I feel like sometimes in Singapore, is for creative, it's quite draining. And you always need to travel out to regain that energy and then come back again. And then you...
Some of the biggest talents have left, because it is a small place. And so they go to another place where there is more talent, where they can feed their craft more.
Yeah, talented artists from here, they go other country because they feel more appreciated there than in their home country, because of, it's not because of the country don't like or don't appreciate, it's just a pool of people interested in this is not enough, and that's why they have to move out. But when they make a name there, it definitely is good for like bring it back to the country to help inspire and help to, you know, like get students at a young age to aspire to do something other than this triple science and
right.
math.
Like JJ Lin, right? I mean, he leave and he did super well, and now
And now he's here. Now he opens cafe, doing other business, have esports team, you know, he's diversifying.
Co-founder of ARC.
Yeah, and still performing. So
sold out shows.
Yeah, sold out.
In major cities.
Back to back, yeah.
He's a rock star.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. And very humble, too.
Okay, I need a hot take. My hot take is that there's so many free options to enjoy art in Singapore. You've got the symphony that performs in the parks. You've got Singapore Ballet, which does once a month. They do a performance in the studio. It's only $15 and you get to see them perform, which is very, very cool. Mm. There's outdoor movie night at Sentosa. There are the art galleries at Gillman Barracks. And for most performances in Singapore, they've got student rates. So I guess my challenge to everybody out there listening and watching is to please visit a museum or go to a show in the next month and let me know what you learned and how it made you feel.
Yeah.
What's your hot take?
I think everybody should just, you know, go one time. Go with like your partner, go with like friends. I'm sure the takeaway will be quite inspiring, especially younger individuals.
What if people want to see you? Do you have any performances coming up? Or they just go to TikTok?
Yeah, actually, but that's with my agency. Right now, I'm focusing on making my single. So when I do my EP, then I'll make shows.
Cool.
To perform the shows. Those club shows in different clubs or like events. So one of my things that I'm looking forward to in the near future is this single that I want to make with my friend. It's going to be really different. And it's commercial music, but it's going to be very different.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see how people can, you know, react to that. Because it's big beatbox.
Mm-hmm.
Plus rapping and singing, and we'll think about a remix, a VIP version of like electronic music as well with this song. So it's like two different versions. I think it's gonna be cool.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. So we're at the end, but I wanted to ask you why you left Singapore initially. Did you know that you wanted to beatbox and you had to get out of here in order to do it, or did you go for some other reason and then you found beatboxing? What led you
So I had to leave Singapore for a time being because I needed to expand my creative potential. I felt that it was quite stifling here in terms of the...
But did you know you wanted to be a beatboxer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
when did you know that? Were you 7? How old were you?
14. I was like, oh, I want to be beatbox champion.
And your family was like, what? Yeah, what's that?
Nobody knew what was that. Nobody knew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but when I moved out, like after army, after my national service, I had just something just clicked. And it's like I'm going to explore, you know. My mom at that time was like, she was quite reluctant, you know, of course. But I told her like, oh, I'll come back, you know, like once a year or something. So I go there. Whoa. My 20s were like just gone like this. Finished so fast.
So how many times did you come visit your mom?
Nearing the end, it was quite often because I had more and more jobs here.
Right.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I'm doing stuff there, and like media in Singapore, they start to like know about it, and I even had like local. I had a viral video in Singapore when I was in Poland.
Oh.
But it was nothing to do about beatboxing. It's about a restaurant, my friend's restaurant. Yeah, and he's a Singaporean.
Uh-huh.
In the menu of the drink, the cocktail drinks are all like in English vulgarities.
Oh.
And nobody in Poland knew about it.
That's
so
funny.
I did a video and I ordered in like, and the bartender's like, you know, he said the word and it got viral.
That's
like,
hilarious.
Yeah. And people from Singapore flew down to Poland just for that.
So this question, I don't know if you're going to like it, but I was thinking, like on Instagram, your wife is a hottie.
Mm.
Okay, she's hot, right? You've got the craft.
Mm.
She has more followers than you. Not to say that she doesn't, she's not brilliant, but I mean, basically what she does on Instagram is about her aesthetic.
Mm.
But does it upset you that you have craft and she has the looks and she's getting more followers than you who have this skill and this craft?
No, it's just different audience, you know? Most of her audience right now are transitioning to just a female audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of female audience. and I'm very happy for her. And for me, it's more of like people who just want to be entertained, like, you know, and people who love beatboxing, people who love music and fun content, they follow me. And yeah, what she's doing, she's not actually like focusing on followers now. She's actually thinking about how to use that female leverage on this female audience, mm-hmm. To do something that is sustainable for her. She was a gamer. She was playing Counter-Strike live stream.
Oh, is that how she started?
No, she started through Corsets. Oh, she's doing like roleplay gaming, like on GTA and Minecraft, with her other Polish live streamers.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It's very interesting. The very nice niche they have, and her live stream viewers are like mostly female. They like to connect with her.
So, question for me.
Do you still dance?
Only when I've had too much to drink in a club. But no, if there's every once in a while I'll do a dance on TikTok if there's something trending that's fun, because I love to dance.
Yeah, but I think you're born a dancer, right?
Yeah.
So you should. Hey, I've never seen like ballet or like something.
Oh, there's lots of ballet on TikTok.
Really?
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
It's just not
feed.
On. It's not
on
your
my discover.
It's, yeah, it's like, not on your feed. There's lots. But yeah. But no, I still occasionally dance, but I don't take any lessons anymore. So this wraps another episode of Pass the Power with me, Paige Parker. Thank you for listening. And also, please message me with your thoughts on who you'd like to come on as a guest and also how we can do this better. I love this journey with you, and keep coming back so we can pass the power one episode at a time. Jeez.